We've been teaching, we started back all the way back in Genesis, and we've been teaching through all that. We taught all through creation and the flood and all that, and we got to Abraham and taught on Abraham for a few weeks. Last week we were talking about Isaac and some things we learned from Isaac. Tonight, we're kind of getting off of that track just a little bit for tonight, because I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share this particular word tonight. And I always question the Lord when he does that. I say, well, Lord, why is this? It's not like our church had heard stuff like this before. And so this may be for you, or maybe it's for somebody watching the live stream. I don't know. But if it's not for you, just pretend like you're enjoying it. Pretend like you're getting something out of it. And if maybe something sticks, then that's wonderful, all right? But I always tell people, remember, when I'm speaking to you here, I'm not just speaking to you here, because, you know, of course, we have the live stream. It goes out on the internet and all that, but we also have the radio program that goes out to a lot of people. And so the messages you hear, other people hear as well. So I understand maybe it's for somebody out there. I don't know. But if the shoe fits, wear it. Amen? All right. So the title of the message tonight is The Spirit is Speaking, But. Everybody say that with me. The Spirit is speaking, but. And so I want you to know there are some folks, a lot of people within the religious establishments around, not just the United States, but the world, who believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us anymore. I mean, they have whole conferences trying to convince people, and they have lots of stuff on YouTube and all over the place to try to convince people that God doesn't speak to us anymore. And by the way, he also doesn't do miracles, and he doesn't heal people, and I always say, you come way too late to tell me that. I mean, we've seen way too much, experience way too much. And so, of course, I don't buy into that even a little bit. But they also believe, it's not just that they believe the gifts of the Spirit aren't around and that miracles and healings and all of those things. It's not just that they say is gone, but they don't believe God speaks to anyone today. And that the only way God could possibly speak to you would be through the written scripture. And so I do believe, and anybody that knows me knows, that I do believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God. I believe that. And I believe every word of it. And I believe it's exactly like the Bible said, including creation, that it wasn't over millions of years and everything else. As you guys know, God created the world in 6 days, just like the Bible said, and he rested on the seventh. Just like the Bible said, everything happened exactly the way the Bible says. So I am not in any way discrediting the Bible. It is the infallible word of God. And anything that we believe the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks to us has to be in agreement with the word of God, or it's not the Spirit. And so I believe that God speaks to his children today through his Spirit, and I also believe that he speaks through his children today by his Spirit to others. And so I just believe that God's still speaking. The Spirit is still speaking to us. So sometimes it may be a word of warning or a word of caution. Anybody in here ever had a word of warning from the Holy Spirit? Like, you just know. I share this story many times, but over the years, I used to ride a motorcycle. And boy, I'm telling you, while I was riding that motorcycle, I never forget that day I heard the Lord very clearly, specifically, tell me to move over in the left lane. And as soon as I moved over in the left lane, a board flew off of the 18-wheeler that was right in front of me that would have killed me and my buddy that was riding on the back of my motorcycle. And then it happened again another time with a big, huge hose laying across two lanes, the left lane and the middle lane. And I, at midnight, nighttime, it's dark, and I hear the Lord say, move into the right lane. And I remembered that other time, and so I immediately moved into the right lane, only to see this giant hose laying at a slant across the lane I was in and the one left of me. So it was very specific. He said, the right lane. And the other one is move over to the left lane. So I do believe that God can give us words of warning. I've had situations where I was going to go and bless somebody on side of the road, and I heard the Lord specifically say, don't do it, because I had a real sense of danger, that my life would be in danger, okay? So there are words of warning. Thank God for those words of warning. So sometimes it may be just a word of guidance where God is telling you what to do or how to do something. Anybody ever been wondering how in the world to get a certain thing done, and all of a sudden the Lord speaks to you and you just know what to do? That's the Holy Spirit speaking. Sometimes it might be a word of encouragement. You know, somebody might have just told you how terrible you are, and the Lord just, you hear His Spirit speaking, saying, I love you. You're my child, you know. Thank God for those words of encouragement. Sometimes it's a word of rebuke. Yes, amen. Right? Anybody ever had the Holy Spirit say, now you know you shouldn't have done that. You know you shouldn't have said that. Right? Thank God for those words. And it's not because I'm sitting there reading a Bible scripture. No, it's the Spirit speaking. Right? And so sometimes it may be through a spiritual gift, like the word of knowledge or something that God speaks to you. But the Spirit, and I'm saying God because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's one God. But the Holy Spirit is speaking, and He will speak sometimes through spiritual gifts. Sometimes it may be by giving you a deeper revelation as you're reading the word. So you're reading the word, And the Holy Spirit speaks to you and enlightens something that goes beyond just the surface level of the written word. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit speaks, and he is speaking. He's speaking today, and I just do not buy in and will never agree with those who says that He doesn't. Now, is it possible that people claim the Holy Spirit is telling them something that the Holy Spirit's not telling them? Absolutely. Especially people who don't know the Word of God, and they don't know whether it agrees with the Word of God or not, because they don't know the Word of God. They've never bothered to read it. And so I've known people who told me, oh, I believe the Holy Spirit told me this. And I go, no. I mean, immediately there's red flashing lights and sirens and no, that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would not say something like that. That contradicts His Word. The Holy Spirit did not tell you to leave your husband to go find this other man that makes you happy. No, He didn't tell you to do that. But people make those kind of claims. So, of course, because of sometimes the ridiculous things that some people say, there are others who say, see, all that ridiculous stuff them charismatic Pentecostal people say that believe in. No, that's proof that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us today. Well, no, that's hogwash. So, Revelation chapter 2, verse 29. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, how many of you know that was written not just to those churches in Revelation, but it was put down in the Bible so that you and I could also hear what the Lord said to the churches in Revelation? We had Pastor Tony Jones come a few weeks ago, and he shared a great message using three of those churches in Revelation, and the Lord really, really spoke to me through that and convicted me through that. Although I've read through it many times and studied through Revelation many times and familiarized myself with those churches many times, there was just something about, it's like as though the Lord was examining us as a church that day, saying, where are you when you look at these churches? And I had to say, Lord, I don't think Church of the Promise is like the Church of Smyrna that you had nothing negative to say about. And if you got anything negative to say about us at all, Lord, I want that to change. Amen? Anybody in agreement? I want to make sure we're not the church that lost our first love. Because a church that loses its first love is going to lose its effectiveness. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit is still speaking to the churches. And so that is actually said seven times as Jesus is talking to the church in the revelation that He gave to John. So God wants to speak to us, but do you and I really want to hear what God has to say to us? And that's a question that the Lord asked me a long time ago. And I was saying, God, I just need to hear from You. And He says, do you really want to hear from me? Do you really want to hear from me? Because I already had a mindset of what I wanted Him to say. Understand, this is not the president we're talking about. This is not even the Pope that we're talking about or some other international celebrity that we're talking about. This is the Spirit of Almighty God. And believe it or not, He is speaking to us. The question is, are we listening? The Lord's getting His bride ready. I believe that. I believe that's what the picture, as we said, you know, all these baptisms that we've done, these fire baptisms and stuff, man, that's what that's really all about. It's a picture of the Lord is getting His bride ready. He's cleansing her. He's purifying her. He's making her ready. Understand, He's speaking to the church because the church is His bride. And I'm afraid that a lot of the visible church simply is not ready. We're not ready. Many have compromised. Many have been influenced by the world instead of influencing the world. I'm just amazed at how so much of the church looks more like what the world prescribes than what the Bible prescribes. All in an attempt to win the world. And I've said this for years, but you cannot win the world by looking, acting, sounding, smelling, talking like the world. You win the world by looking, acting, sounding, smelling, and talking like Jesus. And so a lot of people within the church has compromised. A lot of leadership within the church has compromised. Many have been influenced by the world, again, instead of influencing the world. God wants us ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But again, do we really want to hear from God? There are some things I do want to hear from God. And then there are other things in my natural man, I don't really want to hear from God. Because that means I got to change. Jeremiah himself, and we're going to talk a lot about Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I love him. I love Jeremiah because I feel sorry for him. But at the same time, I love him because, man, that was a man with... Even though the Bible describes him as a man who wept a lot and he seemed to be just depressed all the time, and he had a spine of steel because he said what God told him to say. Even when he begged God not to make him say it, he said it anyway, right? And I always said, poor Jeremiah, you know, how would you like to be told by God? Jeremiah, I'm going to tell you all kinds of stuff that you must tell the people. And I'm going to hold you accountable if you don't tell them. You must tell them, Jeremiah. But by the way, not a one of them is going to listen to you. Not even one. I used to feel sorry for myself, you know, when the church would go through stuff, especially early on. Boy, when we had, I don't know, about 35 people in the church and they all left except one. And I felt sorry for myself. And I felt like a failure. And I felt like, oh, God, you called the wrong one and all that stuff. Y'all have heard all them stories. But here's the thing. You know what encourages me? I look at Jeremiah. He's a man who has an entire Bible book named after him that he pinned down that God used. And he never had a single person listen to him. And he still was a success because he obeyed God. It has nothing to do with how many people flock to the seats of a building. It has to do with, are you obeying God? Okay, so Jeremiah himself, understand, he was everything that a hungry congregation could ask for in a shepherd. He was in constant communion with God. I mean, literally, he heard from God directly and spoke what God said. He couldn't be bought at any price. He had great integrity. He was certainly not a false prophet in any way. He wept over the sins of God's people. He loved them intensely. He was ready to lay down his life for the church. And actually, he was thrown in jail and into a deadly mud pit for speaking the truth. This was their man that God had given them to speak to them. I mean, what a great pastor. Yet they rejected everything he said. Time after time, Scripture says, Jeremiah waited in the Lord's presence until the word of the Lord came. Can I tell you, and I'm talking naturally speaking, and anybody can put yourself in the place of a pastor on this. You spend time getting before the Lord, hearing what He has to say. You know it's for the body. You know this is for anybody that God has brought into your area of influence. That it's not just for a select few. It's for everybody. And you took the time to prepare. And you got that spiritual meal ready to go. But then people don't even bother to show up to get it. because it's just not that important to them. Because they got all kinds of other things that the world offers them that they fill themselves up on, they gorge themselves on. And so that meal that God prepares specifically for those people, they don't even bother to show up to get it. It'd be just like if you went through a lot of trouble and you prepared a big meal, physically speaking, you cooked a big, beautiful dinner, wonderful dinner. I mean, full course thing, you know. I mean, you really went all out. And then the people that were supposed to come don't even bother. Now, how does that make you feel? See, naturally speaking, that don't feel good. That's why you do what you do as unto the Lord. You do what you do whether people are going to eat it or not. That's why I had to get to that point where I told the Lord years ago, Lord, I don't care. When I quit quitting, once I quit quitting, I said, Lord, I don't care if I'm preaching to empty chairs. I'm going to preach like I'm preaching to 1,000 people. I'm going to show up and I'm going to preach the word that you told me to preach, even if nobody shows up to hear it, right? So, but you know what? We got people here tonight. Poor Jeremiah, nobody wanted to listen to him. I mean, that's amazing to me. And he just kept at it and he begged God. And then the scripture says, Jeremiah says, I wanted to hold it back, but I couldn't because it was like a fire shut up in my bones. I didn't want to have to say it, but I had to say it. So, time after time, again, he sought the Lord. It says the word of the Lord came to him 50 times, well, over 50 times in the book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to him. I've heard a lot of people over the years say, you know, I just need a word from God. I need a word from God. But do they really? Do they really want it? In those days, understand, there was no shortage of a true word from God. But there was a shortage of people who was willing to listen and obey. Reminds me a little bit of today. Throughout history, the Lord had always had a true spokesman, even in times of compromise and apostasy. There's always been a remnant of people. And can I tell you, like, there are people who believe that, you know, the Holy Spirit disappeared at the end of the first century when the original apostles and all died, and he didn't reappear until 1906 at Azusa Street. Can I tell you the Holy Spirit has never left? Can I tell you that there has always been a remnant of people that God has used? There's always been signs, wonders, and miracles going on in the body of Christ. Even though the body of Christ, I believe, shrunk down, the true body of Christ shrunk down pretty small. But God always had a remnant of people who believed him, who had faith, and who had signs, wonders, and miracles, and they had all kinds of incredible, amazing instances of God showing up, showing out, and showing off. And so it never disappeared. Why? Because God, when he sent his spirit, he didn't say, I'm gonna send him, and then I'm going to take him back until 1906. The church has always been here. So throughout history, the Lord has always had true spokesmen, even in times of great compromise and apostasy. And there have been very times of great compromise and apostasy. There was this time, we call it the Dark Ages. I mean, there were times when, literally, when Catholics were killing Protestants and Protestants were killing Catholics. And I'm talking about very cruelly, torturous, in the name of Jesus, they were doing that. Time after time, you read, and the word of the Lord came, and it came to Isaiah and to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It came to Daniel and Hosea and Joel and Amos and Jonah and Micah and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. And guess what? God is still sending his word to us today. He's still speaking. God's word was always a clear warning, full of judgment against sin, yet full of hope for the repentant. That message has never changed. And usually there were three kinds of responses to the word of truth. And you see those same three responses in many people today. And so we're using Jeremiah as an example. But how many of you know it was the Spirit speaking to Jeremiah and through Jeremiah? I believe it's the Spirit speaking through me tonight. I believe it's the Spirit speaking through any pastor who genuinely is serving the Lord and seeking the Lord. I believe God is still speaking through them. And not only the pastors, but the whole entire fivefold ministry. And not only the fivefold ministry, but the people of God, no matter what you do, if you are seeking God, God is going to speak to you and he's going to speak through you if you let him. All right, so the responses, though, of those people and many today is this, and these are not really good responses. Number one, the Spirit is speaking, but many will not pay attention to him. The Spirit is speaking, but many will not pay attention to him. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 1 through 2, Zedekiah, son of Josiah, was made king of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he reigned in place of Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim. Neither he nor his attendants nor the people of the land paid any attention to the word the Lord had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. So the Israelites had no intention of quitting their sinful ways. Anybody ever met somebody who just has no intention of quitting their sinful ways? I know people who sit in church, been sitting in church for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they have no intention on stopping their sinful ways. They're going to do what they want to do, no matter how many sermons they hear, no matter how many worship services they're in, they are going to do what they do, and they don't have any plan to change. So they did not really care for his messages that called for change. Instead, what they wanted was a soft, soothing word. What they really wanted to hear is that God was pleased with them and that they're okay. They wanted a soft, soothing word. You know, if we really wanted to hear what God is saying to us today, we'd at least make an attempt to prioritize it above trivial, temporal, and ultimately unimportant things in light of eternity. No one would have to coax us or entertain us to get us to go to church or to read the Bible or to spend time in prayer. We wouldn't want to miss what God's saying. If God's saying something, we would want to hear it. If we really care about what he's saying, we wouldn't want to miss it. The prophet Isaiah said of them in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 through 11, said, "These are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, 'See no more visions,' and to the prophets, 'Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions.'" Can you believe? It's not any different today. "Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel." That is scripture. And I want to tell you, that mindset is very, very real today. People don't really want to hear truth. I love what Pastor Mike Mele says. I've repeated it probably 100 times. People don't really want repentance. They just want relief. I can't tell you how many crisis Christians I've run into over the years. They have crisis Christianity. The only time you see them in church, or the only time they're going to pray, or the only time they're going to bother to read the Bible is when they're in a crisis because they want God to fix it for them. And they'll try to convince you that they do this to me all the time. They'll try to convince me how spiritual and holy they are. And I tell them, "You don't have to convince me of anything. He's your Savior, not me," right? So, but they think, you know, "I'm the pastor, so I must have a hotline. And I can maybe, you know, if I throw my influence behind it, maybe Jesus might use a little bit of the favor that he's given me to help them." It's like I had that man tell me that time we were talking about whether or not people should be praying to Mary and so on. And he told me, he goes, "Well, you know, it's kind of like this." He goes, "You know, when somebody's mad at you, it kind of helps sometimes. If you could get to their mother and maybe get their mother to talk to them a little bit, maybe she could help you out a little bit, give you a little favor." And I said, "That's why you talk to Mary?" He says, "Well, yeah." He said, "I know he's close to her." I said, "Man, don't you know he loves you? Don't you know he loves you enough that he was willing to die for you, that while you were yet a sinner? Don't you know he loves you? You don't have to go around the backside. The Bible says the one that tries to sneak around instead of going through the door is a thief." So they're literally telling the preacher, "Don't tell me this stuff. I don't want to hear this stuff. Tell me the good stuff. We just want to hear the good stuff. Prophesy these things to us, that these illusions. We know it's a lie, but tell us anyway, because it makes us feel better about ourselves." And after all, in our culture, this is not new, just like it was in that culture. In our culture, it's all about just make me feel good about myself. Everything's about feelings. It's where the whole woke thing comes from. So in another instance, in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 18, I love this story. It's about the prophet Micaiah. And it says, "The king of Israel, Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, Didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? I love that. Ahab is whining about it. And a little earlier, what had happened in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 13 and 14, it says, the messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. But Micaiah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. What they're asking him to do is, you don't want to make the king mad. So all the other prophets are saying good things to him. So even if it's not true, it doesn't matter. You line up your word with his. And Micaiah says, I can't do that. I can only tell him the truth. So then the king says in verse 18, man, he don't ever say anything good about me, only bad. I love that. Are there churchgoers today who would actually demand that their pastors actually bring a deceiving message to make them feel better about themselves instead of giving them the truth that will make them free? Is it possible that happens today? Absolutely, it happens today. And if they don't get it in one place, it's easy to find it somewhere else. So you may not hear them say those words, but you can see their response when the man or the woman of God brings a strong prophetic word. They leave church thinking, yeah, I don't need to listen to all that. They may not even say it out loud, but they already make up their mind. I'm not interested in that. I don't want all this conviction stuff. I don't want all this. That aggravates me. I prefer how about just give me some simple how-to steps? Maybe how to cope with my problems. Well, if that's what you want, go pay a psychiatrist, $200 an hour, and they can give you that stuff. Right? That's not what we're here for. We're here to give you the truth of the gospel that'll make you free, where you don't have to go pay some psychiatrist $200 an hour and get put on some happy pills. Listen, the people in Jeremiah's day so despised any word exposing sin that they demanded any such message be stopped. And the reason many don't want to hear from God is because it may expose the sin that is in their life, and it's sin that they do not want to let go of, they do not want to get rid of. And so these kind of people, they love to read the promises of God. They want to know, they like to claim those promises, but they never want to deal with the conditions that come with the promises. They don't want to know the conditions. Just tell me all the good stuff. Tell me all the good stuff that God's going to do, but don't tell me that I've got to change. All right, so that's number one. The second one ain't a whole lot different. Number two, the Spirit is speaking, but many will let their pride keep them from obeying him. It's a pride thing. King Zedekiah best illustrates this kind of a person. He was a man of great power, great influence, great authority. His father, Josiah, was a godly man. So we know that Zedekiah at least had a background in the things of God. He had a good example. His father actually was a godly example. Yet when the man entered his kingship, he inherited the throne. He had no time for the Lord until crisis struck. Again, crisis Christianity, right? And again, isn't it strange how we sometimes need a crisis before we want to hear what God is saying to us? And I want to tell you, that's across the board for most people. Most people wait until we have some kind of a physical crisis before we want to take care of our bodies the right way. Some people wait till we have a crisis in the family before we want to do what we need to do to fix that or to take care of that. Many parents wait till they have a crisis with their child that they can't control before they decide to start parenting in a way that actually is teaching them the way they should go, instead of worrying about being that child's friend. So we wait till crisis happens, and then we want to try to fix it, and then we don't want to try to fix it ourselves. We want God to fix it. So as long as things seem to be going pretty good, relatively smooth in our lives, we don't care, nor do we have too much time for God. But you let something happen, and I want to tell you, we're in church. We want to hear a word from the Lord that's going to help us. And so Jerusalem was suddenly besieged, surrounded by ruthless Babylonian army. And I want to tell you, they were ruthless and they were strong and they were powerful. And eventually there was a shortage of bread. There was a shortage of water. It was all beginning to run low because that's how they would do warfare. They basically would siege a city and they would starve you out. And they were such a big, powerful army In Jeremiah 37, verse 3 and 4, it says, King Zedekiah, however, sent Jehukal, son of Shelemiah, with the priest Zephaniah, son of Messiah, to Jeremiah. Boy, that's a lot of ayahs. To Jeremiah the prophet with this message. Please pray to the Lord our God for us. Again, isn't it interesting? People, they're not going to do a single thing that they're supposed to do. You know, you can help them. You can give them the word. You can try to give them instruction. You can do that kind of stuff. But they're not going to do it. But the moment they get in a problem, please pray. Please pray that the Lord is going to fix this, that he'll help me. I want to tell you, I see it all the time. And now Jeremiah was free to come and go among the people, for he had not yet been put in prison. So that tells you what's going to happen, right? So here he is. He's sending a message. Now he's being stubborn. He's not doing what God told him to do. But then he wants to get Jeremiah to pray. Please pray to the Lord, our God, for us. Now he's going to pretend like he's our God, right? His God. He sounded so sincere. How many of you know that prayer sounded very sincere? It sounded so sincere. Please pray. I really need the Lord in my life. He's calling the whole nation to prayer, pretty much. But Jeremiah instead prophesies destruction to the king. So about that time, word hit the surrounding Babylonians that Pharaoh was approaching from the west. Now, Jeremiah tells him, sorry, king, but destruction is coming your way. You're not doing anything God told you to do. Destruction is coming your way. He didn't want to hear that word. And then all of a sudden, the Babylonians hear about Pharaoh and his army coming, and panic struck the Babylonian camp because Pharaoh had a mighty army as well, and they were not friendly with the Babylonians, and they started to run away. So Jeremiah 37:5, Pharaoh's army had marched out of Egypt, and when the Babylonians who were besieging Jerusalem heard the report about them, they withdrew from Jerusalem. And so imagine the cheers on top of Jerusalem's walls as the Israelites watched their enemy run in fear. Imagine that. I can imagine all the leaders and the judges and the magistrates saying, you know, hey, our walls aren't cast down like Jeremiah said they would be. Our city's not burning like Jeremiah said. He's a false prophet. So much for old Jeremiah's gloom and doom. And I believe that probably the wine flowed and the food became plenteous that night, and they threw open because they had been conserving stuff. You know, they knew they had to conserve it, but boy, now they're letting loose, right? It was a week of official celebration. The crisis is over. Let us celebrate. True to human nature, everyone put the crisis out of their minds, and they went back to the daily business, the daily grind. Now, who do you think was the most mocked, ridiculed man in the city that day? Definitely was Jeremiah. King Zedekiah must have been embarrassed that he even called for prayer. He was worried for nothing. So how could I have been so alarmed? You know, how could I have been so intimidated by that prophet? Not only did they celebrate, but they also went back to despising the preacher. And again, I've seen that. I've personally experienced that. I mean, look, we've paid people's house notes only to get them to turn around and begin to despise us and smear our names. We've paid people's bills for them. I would go personally and pick people up for church that didn't have a ride, so on and so forth, only to have them smear our names all over the place. That's normal. That's part of ministry. But it's because people are only trying to use God for what they can get out of him to get them out of that crisis. They don't really want God. So Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 11 through 16, after the Babylonian army had withdrawn from Jerusalem because of Pharaoh's army, Jeremiah started to leave the city to go to the territory of Benjamin to get his share of the property among the people there. But when he reached Benjamin, or the Benjamin gate, the captain of the guard, whose name was Irijah, son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah, arrested him and said, "You are deserting to the Babylonians." "That's not true," Jeremiah said. "I'm not deserting to the Babylonians." But Irijah would not listen to him. Instead, he arrested Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. And they were angry with Jeremiah and had him beaten and imprisoned in the house of Jonathan, the secretary, which they had made into a prison. Jeremiah was put into a vaulted cell in a dungeon where he remained a long time. You know, I got nothing to complain about because I've never had anybody have to throw me in a dungeon for preaching the gospel, right? That hadn't happened yet. So I can take a little smearing of my name hopefully I won't get thrown into a dungeon, but who knows? Who knows what'll happen? We're heading down a place. Listen, I want you to understand, people are all excited because it looks like maybe the country's going to swing conservative politically here in a little bit. It looks like that's going to happen. But I want to tell you, if that happens, we got 4 years max. Because what's going to happen is the generations coming up under us, they're not thinking conservatively. And they are not interested in the things of God at all, right? And I want to tell you, that kind of stuff is going to come back with a vengeance. That's why I say we better not put our trust in a man. We put our trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Yeah. Now, we do what we can do to do the best we can for our country. We should do that. But we cannot put our trust in a man. So how many times have we concluded that because the word from God didn't happen immediately, that the preacher must have missed it? I've heard words from prophets years back, many years ago, David Wilkerson being one of them. He prophesied some things way into the future. And I remember thinking, wow, I know he's a real man of God. I know he's a real prophet. I really believe that. But it didn't happen. Well, it's happening now, some of it, and some of it's still going to happen in the future. But I believe that they were legitimate prophetic words from God. And just because it doesn't happen when I think it should happen doesn't mean it wasn't a word from God. And that's what happens here. Jeremiah prophesies. Jeremiah tells them what's going to happen, but it didn't happen immediately. So they think, oh, he's just a false prophet. And he disrespected the king. He didn't tell the king what he wanted to hear. So the crisis is over for now, so why worry? But understand that God will fulfill his word. And it may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but eventually every word from the Lord will be fulfilled. In the midst of all of the celebrating and the mocking and the despising and the spokesman of God, you know, they were despising the spokesman of God, another word was given to Jeremiah. You know, and no wonder Jeremiah, I can imagine Jeremiah saying, God, please don't speak to me anymore. You know, let's just me and you have a nice little relationship here. You know, I love you. I love you. I know you love me. But Lord, don't make me talk to these people anymore. So Jeremiah 37, 6 to 10, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of me, Pharaoh's army, which has marched out to support you, will go back to its own land, to Egypt. Then the Babylonians will return and attack this city, and they will capture it, and they will burn it down. This is what the Lord says. Do not deceive yourselves thinking Babylonians will surely leave us. They will not. Even if you were to defeat the entire Babylonian army that is attacking you, now listen to this, and only wounded men were left in their tents, they would come out and burn this city down. You know what God's saying? This ain't the Babylonian army. They're not the real power. God says, you have despised my word. You refuse to listen to me. You refuse to obey me. Oh, it's the Babylonians you see, but it's me empowering the Babylonians to do what they're going to do. And we see that over and over in Scripture, where God will actually bring a foreign people in to discipline God's people because of their stubborn refusal to hear God, to obey God, to listen to God. And can I tell you, and I feel like I need to say this, everybody rejoice because of Roe versus Wade getting overturned. And I know a lot of people are happy because, boy, it looks like President Trump's going to be the president again. And people are happy about that. Because, to be honest with you, the other side is so bad that, honestly, I think just about anybody would be better. All right? But there was a big stance on abortion, but now all of a sudden that is swinging a little bit. Now, they're still saying, we're pro-life. We're pro-life. But with exceptions. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but I can't in any way justify ever murdering a baby in the womb, ever. When is it okay to murder a child? Never. It doesn't matter the circumstance. So they say because of rape, incest, or the health of the mother. Understand, it's not the child's fault that the rape happened. It's not the child's fault that the incest happened. And understand that even my own mother, her life was in danger, and the doctor told her to abort me, but she refused to do that, and she almost lost her life. But thank God she didn't choose abortion. And under that guise of health of the mother, there's all kinds of things thrown in there. psychological health, emotional health, not necessarily just the physical health, like they could die, but it's, well, you know, this is going to harm my life. This is going to change my body. And, you know, this is going to change my hormones and all this kind of stuff. So that affects my health. Now, that might sound silly to you, but that is the kind of stuff that goes on. And so we have to be careful. Because here, I believe, is the word of the Lord. If we don't stop killing babies, we will never keep the judgment of God from coming to this country. It's coming. And we may be able to get it better, but God absolutely abhors that. And judgment must come because we've killed millions and millions of babies. All right, so I said that. It's a little off subject, but I want you to understand that we cannot think that we can disobey God in something like that, so precious as a baby's life, and think that we're going to get away with it. We will not get away with it as a nation. We will not. So he says, if you defeat the entire army, when my judgment is on you, it could be a bunch of sick people. It could be a bunch of wounded men, and they're still going to come burn this city down because my judgment is against you. That's scary. So Jeremiah must have cried, no, Lord, don't make me tell them this. Who's going to believe me now? Because I told them what was going to happen and it didn't happen. So now they're just going to think that I'm the boy crying wolf, right? But he went to the king's courtyard and he cried out, Zedekiah, the Babylonians will return and attack this city. They will capture it. They will burn it down. And Zedekiah, you know, he must have shaken his head in disbelief because he'd heard it all before. And so he simply turned Jeremiah off, and he went back to partying with the rest of them. Not much later, a scout rides up, and he's got news. And the news is the Babylonians are back. And so that siege continued. And this time, the Babylonians didn't leave. And this is, and here we go again. Zedekiah summons Jeremiah again. This time he does it in secret. Verse 17a, Jeremiah 37, 17a. Then King Zedekiah sent for him and had him brought to the palace where he asked him privately. You know, usually it's a big pomp and circumstance kind of thing, right? But he asked him privately, is there any word from the Lord? In other words, I really want to know what the Lord's saying this time, because see, all of a sudden now it's serious again. All of a sudden it's a crisis again. And again, in desperation, he wanted to hear from God. I want to assure you, the Lord does have a word for you. Question is, do you really want to hear it? And I can imagine that's what Jeremiah was thinking if he didn't say it. Oh, he's got a word, but I don't think you really want to hear the word. I feel the same way about, there's a lot of people say, oh, I need a word from God, but you don't really want to hear what he's saying. Because can I tell you what the word is right now? If you need any prophetic word right now, the core of that prophetic word is repent. Repent. I tell people, when somebody's acting a fool, and especially, I'm talking about the Christian, and it's somebody who has just made up their mind that they're not going to serve the Lord, and they're going to, maybe they go and leave their husband or their wife or someone else or whatever, and Christians just go gather around them and just act like nothing's ever happened and so on. And I tell people, look, when people act that way, the Bible says to shun them. Well, we don't want to shun anybody. You know why? Because that could hurt their feelings, and they may not like me. But the Bible says to shun them. The Bible says don't even eat with them. The Bible says that we need to do that so that they will come to repentance. It's for their sake. If they don't come to repentance, the only conversation you should have with them is, I love you, but you need to repent. God loves you, but you need to repent. You can't stay like this. You know better than this. But people don't do that. They keep them on their Facebook pages and they still talk with them and they'll, you know, hang out with them as though, you know, nothing changed. Well, you know what? You're damning that person because they think that they can just do it and get away with it and it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. Can I tell you, I would much rather have preached a nice message tonight. I really would. Something nice, sweet. So it does us no good to hear what God says if we're not willing to obey it. So Jeremiah answered in Jeremiah 37, 17b. He says, yes, Jeremiah replied, you will be handed over to the king of Babylon. So he comes to him, he says, is there a word from the Lord? Yeah, you'll be handed over to the king of Babylon. But Zedekiah still didn't receive it. I remember a man I was talking to, the Lord woke me up. He gave me a very strong word for him, and that doesn't happen with me very often. And that word was that he needed to repent and that God was about to put him through the greatest confrontation of his life if he didn't repent. There was something in his character, something missing. This is a minister of the gospel. This is a man who was very, very gifted. And I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me, and I, with intrepidation, went to him. I said, man, I don't even want to have to tell you this, but this is what the Lord said. And his answer to me was, I don't receive that. My life is better now than it's ever been. I don't receive that. I got a thriving ministry, and I this and that. And I said, well, my job was just to deliver the word. It's your job to do something with it, whatever it is you're going to do. And I'm going to tell you, that man's life, he was in the greatest confrontation of his life, and it was not very long. This man, his house burned down. He got so depressed, he started drinking. He got two DWIs, lost his license, lost his vehicle, lost his job, lost his ministry, and then ultimately lost his life at a very early age. And it did not have to be that way. Didn't have to be that way. So I tell people, if I'm giving you a direct word like that, believe you me, I don't like to do that. I'm not one to do that. I don't claim to be a prophet or anything like that. But God will speak through people. And I thank God for the ones who have spoken to me, that the Lord spoke to them and said, I believe the Lord is telling me to tell you this. Man, I thank God for that. I want to hear those words. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to bring it before the Lord. And I'm going to say, Lord, is this you? Is there something here that I need to deal with? Zedekiah still didn't receive it. He only hardened himself because it wasn't what he wanted to hear. God doesn't always tell us what we want to hear. And so it's a noble thing to say, you know, I want to hear from God, but that may mean that we got to do something that we don't like to do. And that may mean that, you know, we got to hear something we don't want to hear. So to surrender is not what Zedekiah wanted to do. I mean, he had his own plan. You know, most people, when they want a word from God, they want some prophet or somebody to tell them how God's about to bless them and God's about to, I mean, the wonderful word that people love to hear is, you know, sorrow is here for the night, but joy comes in the morning, right? And that's biblical and that's good. That word doesn't fit every situation. And people want to hear the bless me words all the time, but they don't want to hear the corrective words. Eventually, conditions got a whole lot worse. In fact, it got so bad in that city that starving mothers began to boil and eat their own babies. That's Bible. There was nothing left. The end was in sight. And the king called on Jeremiah one more time. Jeremiah 38:14. Then the king Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah the prophet and had him brought to the third entrance to the temple of the Lord. He said, I'm going to ask you something. The king said to Jeremiah, do not hide anything from me. In other words, give me the hard truth with no smooth words. This time I really do want to hear what God's saying this time. And so Jeremiah told the king to surrender. Same word that God hadn't changed his mind. So he told him to surrender. And that if he would surrender, it would all be destroyed. You know, as far as the city and all would be destroyed. But that the king, if he surrendered, wouldn't die. If he surrendered, the king wouldn't die. If he didn't surrender, he was going to die. But once again, Zedekiah refused to heed the word of the Lord. He was afraid of being made fun of by all his officials. Now, remember what we said. Pride will get in the way because we care more about what other people think about us than what God does. So pride got in his way. All he had to do was obey the word of the Lord. All he had to do was humble himself. But because it was a hard word, it wasn't what he wanted to hear, he refused to obey it. And Zedekiah ended up trying to escape. He came up with his own plan. Anybody ever come up with your own plan? God tries to tell you one thing, but you're going to come up with your own plan because you think that might work better, right? Abraham with Ishmael, right? So he tries to escape and he's captured. And it was a horrific situation. His sons were killed before his eyes. His wives were ravaged. His eyes were burned out of their sockets. Somebody ought to say, it didn't have to be that way. And it was all because of pride. Not obeying God's word will not only affect you, but in this situation, we see it affects your whole family. What a terrible thought to think that because I wouldn't heed what God was saying to me, that something terrible happens to my family. We better get self and we better get pride out of the way. Amen? Yeah. I believe the Spirit is speaking. We need to be willing to obey no matter what people say or think. We cannot afford to miss what God is saying to us. It could affect not only us, but also our families. All right, number three. This is actually the third point, the last point. The Spirit is speaking, but many will still do their own thing instead of His. You know what? There's a lot of buts in this message. Some of y'all ought to say out loud to yourself first and then to your neighbor. Sometimes you just need to get your butt out the way. Amen? Many may even put on a good show at first. Listen, America, I believe America needs a strong, pure word from God. We don't need all that mamby-pamby, sissified, lily-livered, limp-wristed stuff that's coming from pulpits today. We need a real word, a pure word, a strong word that comes from the pulpits of America today so that this country has a chance, an opportunity to turn around. Because if the church doesn't repent and turn around, the country is doomed. Many say that they want to hear God speak, yet most will not listen and obey Him when the truth is spoken. They'll reject any message that touches their pet sins or their idols. That's why today it's very acceptable. Now listen, this isn't just a one-off thing that happens every once in a while. It's very acceptable in churches where, you know, alcohol use is promoted and marijuana use is promoted and sexual immorality of every kind is promoted and given the stamp of approval. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. This is happening. So they'll reject any message that touches their pet sin and idols. And many of the pastors have been deceived into thinking that what it's really about is we just got to get a bunch of people in the church and we're going to tell them about Jesus. We're just going to tell them, say this sinner's prayer, say this little prayer, and it's all going to be fine. And you're just a sinner saved by grace, so we understand, you know, you can't expect to have actual power over sin until you get to heaven. That's the message. That's the weak, sissified, lily-livered, mamby-pamby, panty-wasted message that's preached from pulpits today. And so that's why I always say, we need to stop saying I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, but now His grace has saved me, and now I'm a child of God. The old is gone and the new has come. I have a brand new identity in Christ. And so since I have a new identity in Christ, I'm not going to act like the old guy I used to be and make excuses for it. This is illustrated in Jeremiah chapter 42. Only a remnant was left, and Johanan now is the new leader. So there's just a remnant left. They got a new leader. And they decide to run to Egypt. So they camped out at Bethlehem, and they called on Jeremiah to try to get a word from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 1 through 6. Then all the army officers, including Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah and Hoshaiah and all the people from the least to the greatest approached. They approached Jeremiah, the prophet, and said to him, please hear our petition and pray to the Lord your God. Now notice at least they're being honest now. Zedekiah said, pray to the Lord our God, because he's trying to put on a front. At least they're being honest in this moment. And they say, pray to the Lord your God for this entire remnant. For as you now see, though we were once many, now only a few are left. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. Now, they're specifically asking what we should do, where we should go, right? That's a very specific question. I have heard you, replied Jeremiah the prophet. I will certainly pray to the Lord your God. And he's trying to let him know he's your God too, or at least he's supposed to be. As you have requested, I will tell you everything the Lord says and will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, man, I tell you, they said the perfect thing. May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us. They just cursed themselves. Verse 6, whether it is favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, so that it will go well with us, for we will obey the Lord our God. How many of you know that's the kind of prayer we ought to be praying, right? That's the kind of things we should be saying. And so they're saying all the right things. But how many of you know religious people can learn to say all the right things? You ever heard people who sounded more serious about hearing a true word from God? So Jeremiah shut himself in with God for 10 days, and the Lord answered. You know what the Lord told him? They're lying. They don't want my word. They're full of idolatry. They just say they want the truth, but they've already made up their minds to do their own thing. God tells Jeremiah they've already made up their mind to do their own thing. And Jeremiah came to them with God's word. We see that in Jeremiah 42, 10 through 16. If you stay in this land, I will build you up and not tear you down. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to give you a second chance. I will plant you and not uproot you, for I am grieved over the disaster I've inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord, for I am with you and will save you and deliver you from his hands. I will show you compassion so that he will have compassion on you and restore you to your land. However, if you say, we will not stay in this land, and so disobey the Lord your God, and if you say, no, we will go and live in Egypt, where we will not see war or hear the trumpet or be hungry for bread. Again, what's he saying? If you choose to do your own thing, come up with your own plan instead of what I'm telling you, then hear the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. If you are determined to go to Egypt and you do go to settle there, then the sword that you fear will overtake you there, and the famine you dread will follow you into Egypt, and there you will die. And so what happens? The leaders accuse Jeremiah of speaking falsely. And just as God had told Jeremiah, they decided to go their own way. Now let's look at Jeremiah 42, 19 through 22. O remnant of Judah, the Lord has told you, do not go to Egypt. Be sure of this. I warn you today that you made a fatal mistake when you sent me to the Lord your God and said, pray to the Lord your God for us. Tell us everything he says and we will do it. I've told you today, but you still have not obeyed the Lord your God in all he sent me to tell you. So now be sure of this. You will die by the sword, famine, and plagues in the place where you want to go and settle. Man, how much more clear could the word of the Lord be? It's kind of like, how many of you ever heard the phrase, when you see somebody that's just so stubborn, hard-headed, and you hear the phrase, man, they'll never change till they hit rock bottom. Anybody ever heard that? And then about the time you think they hit rock bottom, you find out they still hadn't hit rock bottom. And that bottom comes out from under them, and they got to hit another bottom, and then sometimes another bottom, and another bottom. I've seen people hit 50 or 60 bottoms, it seems like, and it just seems like they never get to the end till they're barely hanging on to life. And I want to tell you, it's sad because it doesn't have to be that way. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Consequences of sin is real. So I want to ask you today, what is God saying to you today? What has God been saying to you? What has God been telling you? I want you out of this, or I want you in this. I want you to do this, or I want you to go there, or I want you to say this. Or what is it that God's telling you? What, look, for some people, it's a relationship. He says, you know, you need to get out of that. So are you willing to obey and walk with God? When the Spirit speaks, look, it may not be what you want to hear. It may even sometimes sound like a harsh word. I've gotten plenty of those. It may require us to make some changes in our lives, but in order to be ready for his coming and to receive all that he has for us now, we need to hear what he's saying to us, and then we need to put it into action. Now, I don't know what the Lord is saying to each one of you, and it's not my, you know, I don't believe that's what the Lord wants me to do, is give everybody some kind of personal word or something. It's not about that. You have a relationship with God. What is he saying to you? What's the last thing he told you to do that you didn't do yet? What's the last thing he told you to stop doing that you're still doing? Trust him. He knows what he's talking about. He's trying to keep you from a lot of pain and heartache and misery and destruction. I had a friend. He told me one time, he said, man, He said, I need to quit dipping. He said, God convicted me. I need to quit dipping. You know, you know your country church when people are talking about being convicted of dipping, right? And this was a woman. No, I'm just picking. But he said, man, yeah, I need to quit this dipping and all. But he never quit. And I didn't tell him, hey, you need to quit dipping. He said, God told me I need to quit dipping. But he never quit. You know why? Because he didn't see the consequences of it until finally he had to have half his face cut off because of the cancer. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's like that. But it doesn't have to be that way. So I'm just challenging you. I believe the Holy Spirit's challenging you, challenging me tonight, challenging this church and anybody else that hears this message. Heed the word of the Lord. Open your ear. Tune your ear to him. Hear what he has to say. Don't be like these people that Jeremiah was dealing with. Don't say, God, I'll do what you want me to do, and then keep on doing what you want to do. I want to tell you, I believe we're in serious times right now. I believe that we're in a time where if it's not real, God's dividing the sheep and the goats. That's been going on for quite a while. And if what you have is not real, if you're not willing, if you're not doing anything but putting on a spiritual front, then God will expose you. And that ain't no fun. And it starts at the top. And that's why we see big names being exposed. That's why we see well-known, big-time preachers being exposed. And we're going to see a whole bunch more being exposed. But you know what? It's not just the big-time ones. You hear about those because they're on the news. But there's a lot of little-time ones being exposed too. Amen? Now, I want you to do this before we pray. I want you to turn to somebody next to you and say, wasn't that a sweet, wonderful word? I mean, just made me have butterflies all up in my stomach. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. I thank you for every person in this room today. Lord, nobody's here by accident. Father, you've appointed us to be here. Lord, for everybody who listens to this message, I believe you appoint them to listen to it. I pray, Father, that this word will not just bounce off of our heads. It will not go in one ear and out the other. Father, I believe you've given us a very strong prophetic picture in this nation, when the most influential man in this nation took a shot to the ear. Lord, I do believe you want to get our attention. I do believe you want us to hear you. And I do believe you want all of our leaders to begin to hear you and heed your voice. And we do pray for those leaders, Father. We do pray that they'll be able to hear your voice clearly and be able to obey. But Father, that's not just the leaders. It's all of us. Lord, we don't want to be like these people. We want to be faithful. By your grace, we can be faithful. By your grace, we can do the things you tell us to do. We can stop doing the things you tell us to stop doing. All because of your grace, your power. And Lord, we thank you that you love us enough to tell us the truth. I pray, go with your people this week. Use them. May they be light shining in the darkness. May your glory be all over them, Father, that everywhere they go, people know there's something different about them. And I pray, use them for your glory this week in Jesus' name. Amen.